Welcome back to Forecast News with me, Millie, and Afshin. Here to my right, I'm sure you all know him very well. If you've been watching for a while, you know we'll be discussing some handpicked events and anniversaries that are coming up around the world this week that we think you should know about. If you're new here, thank you so much for joining us. Please don't forget to subscribe, like, and leave a comment if you're watching on YouTube or X. Let's get into it, Afshin, starting with Monday, the 1st of April, 2024. Now, it's Easter Monday. So happy Easter again if you're celebrating. I'll tell you, he is celebrating. US President Joe Biden and his wife, aka First Lady Jill Biden, they're going to be at this traditional event that's been ongoing since 1878, where they have children invited onto the South Lawn of the White House. And I mean, it sounds like an April Fool's, doesn't it, Afshin, that they've got children here on the South Lawn while he's sending a fresh round of bombs to Israel as he continues to participate in the killing of children in Gaza, many of whom are celebrating their own religious holiday. It sounds like a joke, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, some American commentators don't even know that there are Christians in Gaza. So they think there's just one there's one evil faith, Islam, which of course takes a lot from the Torah and the Bible in any case, and there are no Christians. Well, there are Christians in Gaza because their church was hit by presumably American, British, EU nation bombs in the past few months. Mm-hmm. But whilst we heard from the Pope, the Archbishop of Canterbury, saying, oh yeah, think about the people there, no call for a boycott of weapon sales. And as you say, Biden sending more weapons there. And Monday is the birthday of Gil Scott-Heron. So shout out to all those people who love Gil Scott-Heron. Who,
do you want to remind us who that is? For anyone watching who doesn't know.
You should Google it or, you know, or Doctor-go it.
Do some homework.
He was a, yeah. The revolution won't be televised, he was famous for. I remember seeing him in London. He did have drug problems, but no wonder he had so many problems because he was fighting against the power and the system. And, you know, he would be playing at pro-Palestine concerts in London and all concerts, really, about justice and in the name of justice. So it's a big loss to the movement. But I'm sure you want to move straight on this Resurrection Monday to Little Napoleon in Paris.
Napoleon,
Blinken and Macron.
Well, absolutely. And this is the interesting, isn't it? Blinken, yeah, as you say, is going to Paris to meet with French President Macron on Monday through to Tuesday, I believe. Who knows what he'll say as they're set to discuss Ukraine and Gaza, as we know. But we know NATO allies have kind of tried to at least publicly distance themselves, in a sense, from Macron, who seems quite intent on blowing up the world as he's talking about
saving the people of Ukraine. By the way, Millie, did you notice Zelensky is no longer, we mustn't refer to Zelensky as President Zelensky. His term ran out as of today, or is it last night? And he abolished elections. So he's either dictator or acting president. And that's the guy that Macron wants to send 2,000 French soldiers to help to fight and kill Russians.
Yeah, I will say on that, though, I mean, they've implemented martial law, right? And under martial law, you can't have elections, at least according to the Ukrainian constitution or law. So that's why that election didn't happen, the one that was meant to happen on the 31st of March, was it, in Ukraine? So yes, you could call him acting president. You could say that his term is up, but technically they have stopped.
So what is he then? Marshal? What is he? Marshal Zelensky.
Commander Marshal Zelensky.
I mean, it's going to be very difficult for EU nations to talk about being pro-democracy while they support Zelensky.
Yes, but an election that actually did take place finally, Tuesday, I want to move on to now. And now, we mentioned a couple of weeks ago the Senegal election, which did take place on the 24th of March after it was delayed a few times. Now, the incumbent president, Macky Sall, his term expires on Tuesday. And we had the winner of the election, and that was opposition leader Bassirou Diomaye-Faye.
He was only in jail the week before.
That's absolutely right. He came out of jail 10 days before the election, along with the other opposition leader, Usmane Sonko, who was actually pitched as like the face of the opposition. So I think it was quite surprising to some that he didn't win. Both were
the
in
CIA.
Jail. But yeah, absolutely, perhaps. But both were in jail, as were many of their supporters. He knows what...
I mean, last time people could look it up on Rumble, you were very knowledgeable there about the Israel implications of victory. I mean, maybe they're going to stop selling arms to Netanyahu after this election. Maybe that was his first act.
I would suggest so, Afshin, because this Faye character, some people may not be familiar. He's promised this radical change and a return, really, of kind of left-wing Pan-Africanism. He wants to restore national sovereignty. He says it's been sold off with sectors like oil and gas and fishing. He wants to remove the CFA franc, which is, of course, the colonial currency that was used, and to replace it with ECOWAS, which is...
That's terrible news for Macron. And people were talking about the fact Niger has had a liberation movement that's taken power. That's where France gets its uranium from, and 70% of its electricity comes from there. France is doing... it's in big trouble, isn't it? I mean, there's a strike later in the week. I know we'll come to that. The railway workers, I think Paris, to a standstill.
Yeah,
Blinken is there on Monday, today.
Yeah, well, that's Monday, as we mentioned, but this is Tuesday to continue the Senegal. As you say, I think this is really going to dismantle the Israeli military industrial complex. As we said, Senegal is a big part of that. And I don't know whether he'll be able to deliver on that, but I think a lot of African nations are going to be paying attention. As you mentioned the other week, Afshin, a lot of the West African nations are trying to move towards stability.
They're disastrous countries, aren't they? I mean, at least cocoa production. I mean, I wonder, at Easter time, everyone was talking about the huge rise in chocolate prices, cocoa prices. I wonder whether that money is going to the big arbitrages or to the farmers of these nations that are finally throwing off the yoke of imperialism from France and the United States and Britain and the IMF loan system. Or it's just, you know, makes no difference to the average cocoa farmer.
Perhaps. Also, on Tuesday, on the same day as the Senegal incumbent president's term ends, the new Portuguese Prime Minister, Luis Montenegro, is being sworn in. Now, he's the president of the Social Democratic Party, which is like a centre-right party, which is the same party as the Portuguese president. This comes after the... I don't know if you remember this, the previous Prime Minister, António Costa, was forced to resign in November over corruption allegations, which just shows you more of the instability in European governments going on at the moment. Though there is a surging right-wing party called the Chega Party, said to be a lot of resistance from them. But other than that, I don't expect this is really going to change the status quo or have much implications.
Yeah, but of course it is sad that the rise of the right in Portugal, given it was the last dictatorship, Salazar, the CIA-backed dictator of Portugal, and the legacy of that torture and mass killing that continued right through the 70s and later, wasn't it? Obviously, Portugal, very important for not just its ties to former colonial empire territories like Brazil and in Indonesia, Macau in China and so on, clearly declining power through that, but very important for the CIA always to destabilize Portugal and prevent it from being a country that was aligned with the masses of Portugal, let alone any other countries and the working classes of the prior dependencies. Portugal completely as one with Ursula von der Leyen and Josep Borrell in the war on Russia through Ukraine, supporting certainly through weapons transfer, the genocide in Gaza.
But, yeah, well, of course, we've got to remember as well, Portugal is one of the original 12 NATO members. And you're right, it was the Portuguese foreign minister, actually, who said only a few weeks ago, Mr. Cravin, who said that Ukraine should become a member of NATO. And it is a big week for NATO as well, as we know, which we'll get onto a bit later. Was there something you wanted to add there?
Tuesday, there is, of course, the Donald Trump Donald Trump, Wisconsin rally on the day of the primaries, which are largely academic in Connecticut, Delaware, New York, Rhode Island, Wisconsin. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really matter. We know who the candidates are. This strange used puppet, as we saw with Obama and Clinton at Radio City Music Hall in New York last week, surrounded by anti-genocide protesters versus a persecuted leader, Donald Trump, former president. But it'll be 52 years since Charlie Chaplin was allowed to return to the United States after being expelled for being a communist in the 50s. And what else do I have here? I've got nothing. Really? I mean, obviously, there are going to be things on Tuesday.
You must have missed Tuesday, then. Just to quickly add that Forbes magazine is releasing its annual list of the world's billionaires.
You want it? You want it again, Millie?
Yeah, I think I'm just below you, I believe.
No, nothing.
I mean, it's quite shocking when you look at the statistics, Afshin. I think there's over 3,000 billionaires now, while over a quarter of the world's population has less than $10,000 US to their name. Half of the global population are living on less than $7 US a day. Meanwhile, if you remember, the global poverty charity Oxfam said a few weeks ago, didn't they, or recently in the news, that it'll be within 10 years that we'll see the first trillionaire. So quite shocking figures, wouldn't you say?
Who are on the top 10, actually? I mean, there is a direct correlation between the policies of the top 10 and the genocide in the Middle East, apart from the figures that you just gave as general malnutrition and poverty and child poverty and so on, they're all supporting the military-industrial complex. And many of them got rich through government contracts, privatization. I mean, you just look at the tech billionaires. For years after 1945, the American taxpayer was paying in money into telephone companies, into infrastructure. It was all privatized, sold off, all that research and development at public universities used for private profit to enrich these few individuals there in the top, did you say top 10 or top 30? Is it?
Well, billionaires, it's a top, 3,000 billionaires, and they've got a list. I don't know. It's going to be
LVMH's Arno, Jeff Bezos from Amazon, Elon Musk,
I believe, is
without whom we couldn't do this, by the way, on X, his X platform.
So that's true.
We like him, don't we? And in fairness, Mark Zuckerberg, who avowedly supports censorship, as he has done in congressional things, he'll be on the list. And a few others. There will be a few others in the developing world as well, of course.
Mm-hmm. But certainly
they tend to be Americans, don't they? I think the Indian one is Ambani, who I did see here in Dubai the other day.
Yeah, but I think that the majority of the billionaires are Americans, aren't they? So
yeah, Microsoft, Steve Ballmer, Bill Gates, Larry Page, Google. These are companies that were hugely successful out of that infrastructure that the post-war generation worked so hard as they rebuilt their lives after World War II. I don't think they've really given back enough.
That's right. Okay, I want to get on to Wednesday. Now, on Wednesday, there's a scheduled UN press conference held by the Department of Political and Peacebuilding Affairs over Palestine.
Never heard of that word.
Inconsequential.
Do they have weapons? Are they going to use weapons to fight their way in to give food to the starving in the famine-hit Gaza Strip, or are they going to talk?
Well, exactly. But I mean, funnily enough, UN ambassadors from Senegal are going to be there, along with Indonesia, Malaysia, and Cuba are scheduled to speak. But can't imagine.
We can expect what they're going to say, because they don't agree with, say, Britain's view that the genocide must continue.
So, I will just mention as well, Afshin, I know we said last week that the Israeli delegation was meant to arrive in the United States. Of course, that didn't happen because of Israel being unhappy with the US vetoing the UN security resolution over a Gaza ceasefire. But no, I believe those talks are going to be back on the card.
Abstaining.
That's right, because they didn't veto
Linda Thomas Greenfield, that ridiculous United States UN ambassador, said it's a non-binding UN Security Council resolution, which isn't true. So she lied to the UN Security Council, and she abstained. She didn't vote for the ceasefire. Every other country did, but she didn't vote for it. But it made no difference. The next one, there will be a Chapter 7 one, which will be authorizing a military force to help the starving children of Gaza, or maybe sanctions on Israel. And of course, Britain, the United States, France would vote against that, because whatever they say about, the children of Gaza, they're lying by their actions. I think the whole world can see that. And on Wednesday,
we're on action.
Sorry. Oh, very good. Very good.
Wednesday,
the end of the state of the emergency in Haiti, destabilized by drone bomber Obama, who destroyed not only Africa's richest per capita country, Libya, but also used all his power to destroy Haiti, once the richest country, once led by Toussaint Louverture in the Caribbean, Haiti. And they're trying to smear Barbecue, the liberation leader of Haiti. Let's hope the CIA doesn't murder that liberation leader, Barbecue.
Well, Jimmy Charize, right? That's Barbecue is his nickname, for people who don't understand.
That's right, Jimmy Charize.
But no, I was going to mention that, Afshin, because I know we haven't touched upon Haiti yet on this show, but it's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? Ending a state of emergency, but of course the violence...
They'll renew it, though, won't they, on Wednesday? Well,
probably. Exactly, they will renew it. It's kind of, you might as well wait until the fighting has stopped before you try to claim a day.
And who is backing the fighting? Again, as has happened over generations in Latin and Central America and the Caribbean, more attempts to by the United States to stir up gang violence. They're trying to make out that Jimmy Chirizo is a gang leader. They'll use this word gang in developing world countries to mystify people so that they think it's violent and somehow like a violent school or something.
Yeah.
They never talk about gang violence by the US gang, the Lloyd Austin gang, the Blinken gang, do they? But they will talk about the Barbecue Jimmy Chirizo gang. It's very blatant.
And I do want to add to that point as well, Afshin. And I know, we talked about the West African nations the other week. Now it's interesting, as you say, he's called a gang member, but he's head of the revolutionary forces, who's kind of the mastermind really behind what you might call this violence. And he's actually said, the international community can come up with a plan where they would be happy to get round a table and talk, albeit without imposing their own agendas on what they think should happen in Haiti. And he actually said, we don't believe in killing people and massacring people. We believe in dialogue. We have weapons in our hand, and it's with the weapons that we must liberate the country. So they're very much saying, we want to talk. We want to have dialogue. We want diplomacy. But at the same time, they are fighting that corruption. They're fighting the oligarchs. They're fighting the corrupt politicians.
And that need to talk. It's interesting, isn't it? That's so emblematic of talking, which is like Zelensky outlawed talking about a negotiation. The United States and Britain outlawed talking with Hamas. The intense priority that NATO countries, Britain, the United States, and EU nations put, the intense priority of never have negotiation, never have talking, never have any attempt at compromise to solve situations, just slaughter the children, slaughter civilians.
Yeah. Well, perhaps a Barbecue has a point here. We'll try and keep across updates on that.
But Millie, the reason we have to do shows like Forecast News, and people should subscribe, is because of the propaganda system around the world. And Wednesday is the day Disney publishes results. And you know what? That Mickey Mouse operation, you know who that owns? That owns Pixar, Marvel Studios, Lucasfilm, 20th Century Studios, 20th Century Animation, Searchlight Pictures, National Geographic, and of course, ABC News. And who knows who else? And it's through these outlets that ideas of human nature, that ideas of geopolitics, that ideas about Ukraine, proxy war, Gaza, Syria, what's happening in Haiti, all of these ideas are promulgated through big institutions like Disney. It's not alone. There are others. Murdoch's News Corp, Comcast, CNN, Sky, and all these different, just a few of them. They can use full spectrum propaganda to create a vision of the world that only very rich children who work there, usually, because usually they tend to come from elites, can work at in film and television and media to destroy the minds of the rest of us.
Yeah, I mean, Disney films are very much embedded in our culture, right? And yeah, you're right. It's how these filmmakers and TV owners, whatever narrative they're giving is kind of what becomes the status quo of society, really. And often we don't really think otherwise.
Shout out to How to Read Donald Duck. People can look it up. How to Read Donald Duck. It's a book that's been banned many times because of Disney lawyers, written by a great emigres from Chile after the United States overthrew the government there in the 70s and leading to the death of elected leader Salvador Allende. How to Read Donald Duck explains how Disney was used to change the minds of little children to support the mass killing of children in Indochina, in Vietnam, in Laos and Cambodia. But I know that that the Russian Prime Minister is giving a speech on Wednesday, the annual result address to the Russian Parliament, and that's Mikhail Mishustin. I think we can expect a lot of new information about from him, not only about the appalling atrocity in Moscow the previous week, also about what they're going to do to Zelensky and his team, and maybe to Macron if he sends those 2,000 foreign legionnaires.
Well, I wonder if the Russian Prime Minister will be celebrating the 75 years of NATO, which is Thursday, 75 years to the day that NATO was formed back in 1949, of course, 4 years after the end of the world. World War II, which was designed to provide, according to them, collective security against the then Soviet Union, now Russia. So quite noteworthy then that the Russian Prime Minister is going to be speaking a day before these NATO celebrations.
And the day before is Tony Benn's birthday, the Wednesday, the greatest Prime Minister, arguably, that Britain ever had, who was the subject of assassination attempts. People can watch my interview, the last ever television interview with Tony Benn, if they search for my name and Tony Benn, I guess, because it's YouTube, the Pentagon contractor took it down. They're not taking this down, though. Right. Subscribe.
Yeah. Go have a look at that after this. But it'll also.
What do you think of NATO then? Successful? It.
I was going to ask you the same question.
Oh, I see.
I mean, it'll also be actually as well on Thursday, 1 year. To the day that Finland joined NATO member. Oh. If you remember, and if you remember viewers, we'd mentioned that Finland is apparently the happiest country in the world, according to a recent survey. Is it because they joined NATO?
I think it must be. I think it gives them the confidence. You know, it's ironic that the 75th anniversary of NATO is on the same day, the anniversary, that Martin Luther King Jr. gave his Beyond Vietnam speech at Riverside Church in New York. People can Google that as well. Martin Luther King Jr. Beyond Vietnam. It's an amazing speech about the military-industrial complex and the anniversary, a year later, of his assassination. So
very poignant, then.
Yeah, that NATO, this behemoth, that there was no need for after the fall of the Berlin Wall. And Ukraine's not in the North Atlantic for a treaty organization. Didn't realize NATO is in the South. The North Atlantic is in the South China Sea. At least they should change the name on the 75th anniversary to World War III Promoter Organization or something.
Absolutely. But also...
Paris is the strike day as well. Oh.
Oh, who's that? The CIA?
That's clearly the NATO. That's Stoltenberg telling me to say something nice about the organization.
Is there anything nice, to the meeting?
The only thing nice about NATO is that out of all the mass murder that they have promoted and promulgated and the threats and the fear that they instill in their country's populations is how even some of the poor benefit from the Keynesian militarism that it sponsors. So that even though Britain's largest manufacturing company is an arms company responsible for genocide in Gaza, BAE Systems, their parts are used to kill children. Pension funds, the whole of the City of London, they're very invested in what NATO does to promote militarism and mass murder. Why can't there be a peaceful version which promotes peaceful activities?
Well, so that's what you're going to be saying when you go to the NATO meetings on Thursday then. And we know we're running out of time, so we better move on. But I'll just quickly say that on Thursday as well, Blinken will be rushing from the NATO meetings over to the EU in Brussels, which is hosting the EU-US Trade Technology Council to talk global trade, economic and technology issues. That will be going on until Friday.
And we don't know whether Bill Burns of the CIA will be there, will he? Because as we know from Edward Snowden, I mean, they bug everyone's phones, they bug UN Secretary Generals, these tech companies. Will that be part of any trade deal between the EU and the United States? All secret, really.
I was going to say, all very top secret.
No one knows.
We won't know, but I'll tell you what they probably won't be talking about on their second day of meetings on Friday is Al-Quds Day, which is on Friday. And that's a global day supporting Palestinians against Zionism. Takes place on the last Friday of Ramadan. And that's actually been held traditionally every year since 1979 in Iran, not long after the Iranian Revolution. Tragically, there's often been increased violence on Al-Quds Day, but that will be celebrated.
But what's he going to say, Ayatollah Khamenei, when he makes his annual address for Al-Quds Day? What's Nasrallah of Hezbollah going to say? Because it's not like Iran and Lebanon resistance movement has been able to do anything to save 13,000 children from being slaughtered by Britain, the United States, and EU nation weapons.
Yeah.
It's going to be difficult. It's going to be tricky for some of these leaders who talk so loudly about the need for justice in the Holy Land. Nothing, they've had no support really, have they? Except Yemen.
No. And also on Friday, we'll just move on. The US European Command and Supreme Allied Commander Europe, General Christopher Cavoli, is speaking at the Washington think tank, the Center for Strategic and International Studies, the CIS.
I think it's like a gender thing, think tank, isn't it? Cis, gender,
CISIS.
Think tank. Yeah.
CSIS.
Why does he feel the need to call himself Supreme Allied Commander in Europe? Because I thought we won the war against Hitler.
It's not even in Europe. It's Supreme Allied Commander Europe, as though he just is Europe.
Well, I mean, the least he could do is call himself Big American Commander Character.
Character.
I mean, absurd. You know, when he arrives there, what's the address of that? So this is this guy, this general. He arrives at 1616 Rhode Island Avenue, Northwest, in Washington, D.C. at 2 p.m. Washington, D.C. time. I wonder whether they're going to be protesters against his arrival at that address on Friday. Is it Friday?
I like how you're just giving his coordinates out there.
He has coordinates, drones, and who knows how many people have the U.S. command killed in recent years. But I'm sure he'll be safe. He'll be, you know, loads of bodyguards and people protecting him, unlike the babies of Gaza at all those hospitals. I thought you'd be talking about Kurt Cobain.
Oh, 30 years since his death, right?
Yeah, I noticed, Bobby Gillespie of Primal Scream said that Kurt Cobain would have been pro-Palestinian. Courtney Love, the sort of widow de facto, she's not been very pro-Palestinian. She's attacked Palestinian activists. Anyway, Saturday. I know we're coming to an end. Saturday's the anniversary of Trump's 2017 bombing of Syria. $59 multi-million dollar, I think a $2.5 million apiece, Tomahawk. They named the missiles after the weapons used by the people they genocided in the United States, the Native Americans.
Yeah. I mean, Saturday is also, can you believe, 107 years to the day that the US declared war on Germany during World War I. That was Woodrow Wilson, if you remember, was president of the United States.
I remember it well, yeah.
When you were there.
You remember.
You saw him on the TV?
Yeah.
When he declared the war because they ended, didn't they, because of Germany's submarine policy was being attacked. And Wilson said at the time, it is a war against mankind. It is a war against all nations. Probably say the same for the wars today, can't we? Sunday, I just kind of want to finish on that 30 years to the day since the genocide in the East African nation, Rwanda, began in 1994.
Well, it didn't begin in 1994, really, did it?
Well, the
Belgium and King Leopold and all of the destruction of Brussels, funnily enough, where NATO is celebrating 75 years. They were there.
Well, that was the catalyst, wasn't it, that killed, as we know, estimated 800,000 people. And the president of Rwanda will be holding a ceremony.
It's interesting, that's called genocide, isn't it, when we know Madeleine Albright, after hearing that 500,000 children were killed by British and American and European sanctions, she said it's a price worth paying, 500,000. And, of course, we know that 1 million, maybe, although they never count the dead in Iraq. Why is it not called the US-UK genocide in Iraq?
Mm. And we know as well, in this particular case in Rwanda, the UN was criticised for not getting involved. It thought it was going to, it would be bad for PR if the UN was to get involved in this. So they're complicit as well, arguably. But it seems like lessons haven't really been learned, because also on Sunday, it'll be exactly 6 months of the day since the Hamas attack, if you like, on the 7th of October against Israel. So just a reminder that, you know, this killing in Gaza has been going on for half a year.
No, it hasn't.
And civilians...
Killing has been going on in Gaza
For many, many decades.
Since 1947.
Of course, we're referring to the renewed launch of attacks by Israel, as supplied by the US and the UK and other nations. But that is...
I mean, we can only hope that... I mean, presumably there will be UN Security Council meetings all week, trying by China, by Russia, by some rotating member countries, trying to get Britain, France, and the United States to stop sending weapons to murder the people of Gaza and the people of Palestine. But it doesn't look good, does it? Regardless of any unplanned visits. And of course, Netanyahu suddenly had an emergency hernia operation this week, as if he had to go during this week to get that operation. Highly suspicious. I think we can all agree.
Yeah. Well, look, we'll keep you up to date on all of the ongoings with Gaza and Israel and all of these other stories as well. So thank you very much for watching. Please subscribe, like, leave a comment, and we will see you next time.
Bye.